Well, welcome everyone. Wherever we are around the world, God has brought us here today, has he not? And I trust we've come believing, expecting, and allowing the Holy Spirit to do that healing and deliverance and salvation in our lives. Let's turn to him now and offer this time before him. Heavenly Father, thank you for this meeting. Thank you for drawing us from near and far to come and to meet with you and to hear your word. Father, we thank you that you speak into our heart and our spirit. May our lives be yielded over to you. Help us to hear, not just in the head, but in the heart. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen, amen. As usual, I have a title I believe the Lord gives us in which to talk on. And our title today is Working His Will Into My Will. Working His Will Into My Will. When we are changed by the power of the Holy Spirit, and we are born again of the Spirit above, one of the things you find you are in conflict with is two wills, your will and the will of God. And the Lord knows this. The Lord knows that he has to work with us like the parable of the potter and the clay, molding, perfecting us. He is working obedience into us through his Son, Jesus Christ, who obeyed and went to the cross and redeemed his life for us. Calvary is a display of the will of God. The will of God was accomplished in his Son, who gave up his life for us, in which we now can be forgiven and pardoned and have a new life in Christ. However, salvation is free, but it isn't cheap. And we find that God begins to work on our will. And our wills can be stubborn, rebellious. We find our wills fight against the will of God. But the difference is, for those who are truly born again of the Spirit above, you know in your heart the will of God is the right way. And you don't try to excuse or try to change the word of God or whatever it would be. And this is why God calls us each day to surrender our lives to the will of God. And indeed, God has to even place that within us as an affection, a want, a desire. As someone said, when you become born again, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, that 1 Corinthians 6:19 tells us, that we now have been bought with a price. As someone also said, that your body is your Bethlehem, where Jesus at his birth was placed in a manger. So the question that we raise today as we're going to answer this question, working his will into your will or my will, is his Son, Jesus Christ, who's risen again from the dead, now through the Holy Spirit, returned to us. He is now given us an opportunity of which he can work his will through you and me, not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit of God. We have to start believing in the power of God, that He is able to work in my will so that my will is harmonized with His will. Salvation is about covenant, two people coming and agreeing together, exactly the same that a man and woman do in marriage. They become one, one flesh. They surrender to that unity and oneness. And we, through the new birth, do exactly the same. We surrender our will, our whole being, to the will of God. Then you can confidently pray the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. I wish to God Christians would not pray that prayer unless they mean business for the will of God to be accomplished in their lives. Otherwise, it makes us hypocrites. And yet, this prayer is recited around the world. We recited it at our school, in our assemblies, and so on, not having a clue what it means about the will of God being done in heaven as on earth. Not a clue. It's not until God saves us and fills and baptizes us with the Holy Spirit do we begin to start to understand the mind and will and mystery of God being unfolded to us, taught to us through the Holy Spirit. And so God gives us this opportunity of which He can work in and through each one of us. And this comes as we yield over to the Holy Spirit and we don't fight Him, resist Him. All of you of parents who've had children or have children, you know sometimes you have to just leave them when you've warned them, you've told them not to do that, it's going to be dangerous or whatever it is, but they are opposing your will. Sometimes you have to just step back and let them just do it until they come back like the prodigal son. You were right. You see, this is how God works with us. This is why sometimes when we see things going on in a brother or sister or even a sinning member, and we're praying and interceding, we are burdened. And sometimes it goes contrary to what we hope or will or are praying about. You have to let God be God because He knows how to work His will through a rebellious saint. What God wants us to do is to be interceding, Lord, have mercy, do not give up on this soul. Do whatever it takes for this soul, for my brother or sister, to make it into the kingdom of God. And let God be God. He knows that person far, far better than ever we do. But it doesn't always look good. How often have we seen a sinning member go from bad to worse? And you think, can it get any worse? Can they walk any further away from God? But this is where our faith and intercessions prevail. For we know that our God and Father is merciful and gracious. And it's not in His heart that any should perish. And so, with the will of God being worked into our will, we see how Jesus, He yielded to his father, for example, in John 11, verse 41. John 11 and verse 41. And we see how Jesus is totally yielded to his father to such a point, and this is always something, this verse, that's always amazed me and challenged me, with the raising of Lazarus. And it says, when they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was laying, Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. That's all he had to say. And a man was brought up out from death, raised up. Why is this? What are we seeing here? We are seeing two wills in perfect harmony. He didn't doubt. He knew what the will of his father was. He was so attuned. He was so one with him. And this is what it does. This is what happens when we yield, we obey God, we become one with him. We're no longer battling believing. Battling those areas of unbelief and doubt and fear and all those things that we are plagued with at times, because it means the enemy's got an access in. When we are yielded to the will of God and we are one in that, all doors are closed. And this is what we see in Jesus's life and ministry. And God always hears the prayers of his son. This is why he's our mediator, sitting now at the right hand of the Father. The Father is not answering you. He is answering his son who is in you. And Jesus can only present your request, whether it's for healing, deliverance, whatever you're believing for, it can only ever be presented, revealed to his Father when you are one with him in will, purpose, aim, faith, and so on. And how is that accomplished? How is it done? By the Holy Spirit, who's come into your life, my life, to work the will of God. And so Jesus's prayers were answered. What do we see in John 16 and verse 26? John 16 and verse 26, and in that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I shall pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from him. Because the Father loves Jesus, he's going to answer anything that's brought before his holy throne. I came forth from the Father and have come into the world again. I leave the world and go to the Father. But he said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come back to you and continue my ministry through you. Are you getting it, brothers and sisters? That he comes back to continue his ministry he started in and through each one of us, his church. The body. And that is why he's head over his body, the church. And each of us who are members placed into his body. The day is when he is one with me. And Jesus revealed his unconditional submission to the Spirit of his Father within him. He never resisted him. He was led by the Spirit. I love it in the scriptures where Jesus went into the wilderness by the Spirit and was tested there for 40 days. And it says, you read it, he comes out in the power of the Spirit. God had done something with him. He was now one with him. He was submitted to the will of God in his flesh. And God does exactly the same with us. And that's why you go into your wilderness experiences, where it seems dry and barren, nothing happening, nothing going on. It seems everything in me is being exposed and I hate what I see. That's your deliverance. That's where God's training you. That is where he's dealing with your stubborn will to yield to his will. And then you come out empowered by the Spirit. It's the same principle. It's the same principle how he works. And not only that, but you will be aware of his fullness of the Spirit. And this is the very purpose why he baptizes, empowers us by the Holy Spirit. It's the same with the parable of the sower. It's the hard ground which couldn't yield seed. The heart is hard. It couldn't produce any fruit. And so God says, I have to work on the heart and change these hearts of stone to hearts of flesh, so that then the seed can be sown into good ground that is prepared. And then we see the nature of our yielding that brings forth fruit. The fruit is in the Holy Spirit, in Jesus, as I yield over and allow him to do that work. But I have to let him change this heart of stone to a heart of flesh. He's not going to force himself. God will only go as far as you are willing to yield and allow him. But if you allow him and you ask him, woe betide then if you try and resist him. Because you've asked him to be not only Saviour and Redeemer, but you've asked him to be Lord also over your life. And you have given him the right now to take over your life. And that's why I opened up in 1 Corinthians 16:19 that your body now is his temple that he dwells in, and you have been purchased with a price. It is like the children of Israel when they came close to the tabernacle, the outer court, the inner court, and the center court, or the holies of holies. What was the purpose of all of that? Because that is where the presence of God resided above the mercy seat. God's presence. The Bible says in his presence is fullness of joy. It's all about his presence. This meeting today is about his presence. That we come together into his presence, where he resides, and he speaks to us and delivers us and changes us. You see? And we're going to find that our whole being is brought under his lordship. because God works with us in a wonderful way, because he knows that human nature hates control. It does. Your parents tried to control you and you rebelled, because that is what the fall has done. We live now in a fallen world. But for the Christian, God is restoring and bringing us back. And he knows human nature hates this control. But he works away with us, lovingly, gently, wooing us, until we come to that place where we see it is a privilege, a joy, a blessing to be able to yield to the mighty hand of God. Only God can put that affection within the heart to do his will for his glory. Let's turn to Philippians 2, verse 13. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13. For it is God who works in you both to will and do for his good pleasure. It actually reads that it's a process. It is a working. That God is working in you both to will and do for his good pleasure. Why? Because the perfect will is the perfect will of God. It's perfect. It's exactly right. The will of God for your life, my life, is absolutely tailor-made. And he knows. You see, working his will into my will is not a loss of freedom or will. No, that's what the enemy tries to suggest to you. Oh, you're losing your freedom. You're losing your will. It's not. It's a surrendering up to God. Because you've had a revelation of the love and grace and mercy of God. God is not controlling. And I can tell you he wasn't. Because he allowed his son to be crucified. He allowed his son to be placed into the hands of the Romans, who brutally misused him, scourged him, crucified him. They spat upon him. They blasphemed him. They ridiculed him. They mocked him. That is the free will of God. But God was working behind all the scenes, the wisdom and mind of God was reconciling through all of that, reconciling man, bringing us back to Almighty God, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Yielding is something that we wish to do. It's an affection of the heart. It's an attitude of the heart, and even that is a gift. That is why I read to you in Philippians 2:13 that it is God who works in you both to will and do for his good pleasure. You can't overcome the flesh. It's simply not resisting the Holy Spirit. He is the one who has overcome flesh. Through his son, Jesus Christ, Jesus overcame the weakness of his flesh and surrendered his flesh unto death, that he now might live by the Spirit in us and work that same work that his Father worked in him. Isn't that remarkable? That is why the new birth, being a Christian, is such a miraculous work. Because I know I cannot do this in myself. And that's why he's setting us free. And what he asks of us when we give our lives over to the Lord, and you know this very well, we've mentioned this many, many times in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, where you present yourself back to him willingly as a sacrifice. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Here we go. Learning the perfect will of God. Is it the will of God that we should be here today in fellowship, listening to this word? You haven't doubted that for one moment. You know this is the will of God, and you're not fighting it, resisting it. And when we yield to the will of God, what do we find? We have been so blessed, so taught by God. I have met with God. I have been fed by that heavenly manna. My life is changed in accordance to what I've heard. You see? That is what coming into fellowship should do. Change us, conform us into the image of his son. This is why I say faith comes by hearing, hearing, reading the word of God. It quickens us. It's the word of God working in me to do the will of God. And how the enemy tries to hinder and stop us, doesn't he? He doesn't want us listening to this. He doesn't want our lives changed because we're hearing this word. This is why he throws these obstacles in the way. But we don't give up. We say, okay, he had a go this time, but he isn't next time. And that's the whole point. Because we fight the good fight of faith, laying hold unto eternal life. And Jesus has already won the battle. He has overcome all things. This is why we keep our eyes on Calvary, the cross. And we never take our eyes away from it. Because God, you see, is cutting out these roots, these branches, these things that we've picked up, or unscriptural ideas or traditions of men. This is why the Pharisees, scribes, wouldn't change. They heard him preach and teach, but they weren't willing to give up their traditions of men, their wrong scriptural teaching. There are many who profess themselves Christians, resist the word of God. They don't want that change. What are you seeing happening? You are seeing their will opposing the will of God. And it's so dangerous. So dangerous. A true saint that's truly born of God will say, Lord, please, in your mercy, help me never to fight against your will. Give me the grace and mercy to always yield to it. And God will answer that prayer. Okay, it might be a bit painful. You'll be challenged. But the point is, that prayer has already been answered. And God is going to work on your behalf. He's going to give his angels charge over you, that his will be accomplished in your life, my life, each day. And so we have to let, don't we, the Spirit within us to transform and change us. And he's making us completely and utterly dependent upon him. And rightly so. You are coming to a place, if you haven't already, that you cannot live or even walk this day unless you walk it with him and looking to him. That is how dependent he's going to make you and I on him. And he'll work that. This is why these deeper truths are all for the asking. I have always encouraged you, as you hear the word, as I close with this, that you use what you hear to ask God in prayer. And you know he will do it. Because when your life is in perfect harmony with him and his will, you don't have to plead, beg, strive like so many Christians do. It is seeking first the kingdom of God, his righteousness. And he says, all these things will be added unto you. Well, not even to take thought, concern, worry about them. It will be added. Why does Jesus stress it like that? Because he's trying to show you that relationship with him is far, far more important than your everyday needs in this life. He doesn't want you caught up all the time. I'd better go into prayer and fasting today because I've got a bill to pay at the end of the month, and so on. Now, unless the Holy Spirit leads on that, which he could do. But the point I'm making is that God hasn't saved you for bondage like that. He's going to provide. He's going to pay your bills. He's going to meet our needs and everything, because it comes out of putting his will first. And what is his will? Relationship, putting Jesus first in everything. It's not rocket science. And the enemy hates that. And he tries to hinder in whatever way he will. But you see, when we desire the will of God, that means that doors into my mind are being closed. I'm no longer entertaining, listening to his doubts, unbelief, questioning God and his love and his grace and his mercy. But we do it because we're still not quite convinced or sure. And all I can ever say to that is keep coming, keep listening to the word of God, because faith comes as we hear. Because without faith, we cannot please God. Our faith changes us. Our faith causes our will to be in harmony with his will. Don't try and work out how he's going to do it. That's not for you or I to know. He's God. All it is, I know he will. He will do it because he's an almighty God, and I believe.